Hello, I'm George Sainsbury, your host of Dog in the Spotlight. We're joined again by Lerry Covello-Phillips.
Hello.
Who is always on the hunt for that ideal dog. And also we're joined by friend and vet Trevor Gerlock.
Hi there.
Now, this week's Dog in the Spotlight, we've had many requests. Trevor, you had quite a few.
I did, yes. My stepmother's been hounding us, as well as my friend Harmony, to do this breed.
Nice use of hounding.
Hounding, I thought that. Well done, Trevor. Little pun there. I've had a few people request this dog breed, and it is the very popular Boston Terrier. But before then, dog in the news. In this week's Dog in the News, Lowry has been looking at Science Daily at dogs and certain behaviours. Do you want to explain a bit more about that, Lowry?
Yes. So I found an article which stated that dogs display inequity aversion.
What does that mean?
That is a negative response to unfair behaviours, so that dogs can realise inequality and show a reaction towards that. And there was a study by PLOS, and it had quite a small sample size, only 12 dogs, but they taught them all to give paw and then have a reward as a result of that. However, they then tested pairs of dogs and asked them both to give paw and only rewarded one dog and watched how the other dog reacted. And they had an array of dogs. They had some cooperative worker breeds, such as Australian Shepherds and Border Collies.
So the breeds that tend to have a higher intelligence and also tend to be sort of work orientated, work towards praise.
Well, yeah. And that would potentially work together, it sounds like to herd cattle, you would have maybe multiple border collies.
Yes, because then they also had some 6 independent worker breeds, which included Akita Inus and Siberian Huskies.
And they're renowned for being a bit more aloof as their temperament. They're sort of quite aloof. Yeah.
And the original study was to actually see if there was a difference in inequality aversion between the two groups. But I found it interesting because I didn't know that dogs even displayed this trait in general. The study showed that there was no difference between the breeds in terms of how they reacted to inequality. But the article does state that they do react to inequality. So it showed that the dogs who weren't being rewarded would then either stop the behaviour or show negative reactions towards not being rewarded when the dog next to them was being rewarded for the same behaviour.
And was the dog that was getting the treat, did they show any empathy for their mate not getting any treats? They're like, oh, you can have mine.
I don't think so.
Oh, so then
I don't think so. But it's going to reinforce their behaviour, such as, you know, coming from Pavlov's dogs, that very famous study about reinforcing behaviour, I'm assuming that their behaviour would follow that trend and continue to strengthen and quicken, etc. And the other dog's behaviour either weakened or they showed a negative reaction, such as barking or
so leaving. Going back to the experiment, because I guess in the end, if you did it on your own and when you say, give me a paw, and to start with, you give them treats and then you gradually take away the treat and they just do it out of praise. Mm-hmm. I suppose in this time they were looking at the other dog thinking, hang on a minute, you're still getting a treat for this. Why aren't I? So it's something they may have been trained doing. They just completely stopped doing it because they just weren't getting the treat.
So that's interesting, because if you stop rewarding a behaviour, then from a psychology point of view, which has been applied to other animals, that behaviour will weaken. But this is more than that, in that they then started to display negative behaviours due to not being rewarded whilst another dog was being rewarded.
This is like when my parents would reward my sister with things and then I would pout about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've just found it fascinating that dogs can recognise equity in the human world or amongst other dogs.
That is fascinating, actually.
Yeah,
that's it's a very obviously high emotional intelligence to be able to recognize that.
It's treat others as you want to be treated yourself, is it?
That humans treat them as they treat others. Guess it's left out.
But I suppose you've just got to be equal with all the dogs, like, so they'll pick up inequality. I wonder if it works, you know, when you have some dogs that are loud on the sofa and the other dog's like, no, you're too big. I wonder if they're like, hang on a minute.
I imagine it would. I imagine this is just an exemplar of what they recognise as equality. So I found it fascinating.
So they like live their life feeling inferior. This is like when I had a Chihuahua that was loud on the couch, but the Vishlas were not.
Yes.
The poor Vizslas. Now I feel very guilty.
Yeah, then did you notice any negative behaviors towards this?
No, I just thought the Vizslas were too dense to understand the difference.
Well, they didn't test a Vizsla, and there might be a reason
for that. All right, then I'll still live blindly thinking that.
Right, thanks for that, Lowry. Thank you. In this week's Dog in the Spotlight, we're going to be putting the unique Boston Terrier. Now, when I say Boston Terrier, Lowry, firstly, do you know what I'm talking about? And secondly, do you like them?
So this week, despite Trevor's comments about there being nothing going on when it comes to dogs, I do know this one this week.
You do know this one. Trevor, when you hear Boston Terrier, what's your first thoughts?
I quite like this breed. For the small dog breeds, this is one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. I do not like this one.
Oh, well, maybe we'll win you over.
Maybe.
It may be.
Maybe this will be the dog.
Yeah, if I'm honest, the first time I saw it, I was like, it's not one of my favorite breeds. And I know they're popular in America, more so here than they are in the UK. So, and reason being, they originated in America. So it was known... It's known as the American Gentleman, and the reason why it's like, it looks like it's got a little tuxedo.
Yes.
The markings are quite tuxedo, like black and white, but we'll talk about the markings in a minute. But it originated in 1875 when a guy from Boston, Robert C. Hooper, purchased a dog called Judge. And this dog was a mixture of a bulldog and a terrier. And so it had the sort of ratting instincts, but also the fighting instincts of the two breeds, and it came together. And when you look at it, it does have that slim build of a terrier with the sort of squash face of a bulldog. So you can see definitely where they come from. And it was in Boston, and it suddenly got real popularity in the city itself. And it didn't take long until it became a recognised breed by the Kennel Club in 1893. And all modern day ancestors can trace their lineage back to Judge, to Boston Terrier, back in 1875, which I thought was quite a new breed. And just that one Judge is the sort of starting point.
So, Trevor, in terms of them all coming from this one dog, does that make them predisposed to have a great deal of health issues? I know this is kind of...
Yeah, it's a little segue. They're actually a relatively healthy breed. But yes, what you're talking about is a genetic bottleneck, which we talked about in... Okay. I can't remember which breed it was, but whenever you take a large number and then you slim it down to one animal and then you use him as a stud to propagate the breed, you're sort of relying on his genetics mixed with the female. So you're slimming down genetics, which is usually not ideal.
So guessing Judge then was quite a healthy...
I would guess so,
yeah.
Okay.
So it started, it was actually, so all dogs put into groups such as sporting, herding, non-sporting, utility in different countries. And it was the Boston Terrier was the first non-sporting dog in the United States, which is because it doesn't really, it's a bit like, it doesn't have a purpose. So it had more of a companion dog.
He's a gentleman.
A purpose.
Yeah. He'll know about that. He'll feel that way.
We do know that about dogs. So let's be fair. You do have a purpose. It's keeping your human companion.
They look so sporty. Like I would have thought they were like a toy sporty
breed.
They're
very energetic. But they did have the bull side, which was the fighting, and the terrier side, which was the ratting. But when it came together, it ended up being far more of a companion dog. It's always been quite popular in the US and always associated with Boston. Many Boston University, its mascot is a Boston Terrier. So it's definitely got that sort of American feel about it. And I know in the 1930s, there was always a lot of media and advertising, which included the Boston Terrier. And funny enough, we were talking about the French Bulldog, that at the start of the 19th century, it's a popular breed, and then it became very unpopular. And it was because the Boston Terrier took its place.
Right.
And they look quite similar-ish.
They are. In my mind, I don't know how to really differentiate between the two. If you were, not in looks, but if you were looking for a dog,
yeah,
why would you pick one?
I can
or the
see
other?
What you mean. They both have a terrier in and the bulldog in. Mm. They're both companion dogs. But I feel, as you say, Trevor said, we're going to go on to health, but they are a much healthier breed and they're less stocky. They can obviously give birth without cesarean section or help from a human.
Most cases, yeah. Much healthier. Yes.
So with popularity, it's the 21st most popular dog in the USA. So it's reasonably popular. And you do see a lot around. One of our friends, Brad, if you're listening, he had two Boston Terriers. And funny enough, he's got a Boston Terrier and a Frenchie, which is interesting.
Oh, okay.
And I was at a place last week. They had two Bostons as well.
Yeah. Do you know what I find when people have a Boston? They tend to buy in twos. Don't know why. Maybe just a little thing. But when you're looking at their markings, I talked about they have this tuxedo look. Mm. You can only have, if you're showing the dog, there are three official markings. They all have to come with white, and it can be either black, brindle, or something they called seal. And seal is like a colour. I had to research this. It's a colour of wet seal, which means it's very, very dark brown, extremely dark, and looks black in bright sunlight. So they're your only one.
Almost like a liver.
But. Almost like a liver, but near enough looking sort of black. But they're quite strict on the colourings. And also they tend to, the predominant colour is white and the black with the black markings. So trainability, it didn't come very high up on Stanley Coren's intelligence of dog. It came to 103. It was at 103.
Wow.
So, but with the right training, they're obedient and they're recently getting into agility dog training. So they have to have some sort of be able to take on the training of that. They are also, so living condition, where's the best place for them to live? They do need exercise. And they need to be sort of stimulated that way. But they're very good apartment dogs because they're a bit like the Frenchie. They don't bark that often. Mm. They're not big barkers. They're not major shedders. You just need to make sure you've got the exercise. They're extremely alert dogs. They can be quite protective over their owners and can be aggressive, not towards humans, but can be aggressive towards other dogs, males preferably, males more so. So it's just one thing to be aware of. But again, they've got a great family dog because they're constantly energetic. And as I said, they're not aggressive towards humans at all. It's just sometimes they have a dog issue.
So when you say that, are they a dog that you see a lot off the leash? You can play in dog parks?
I would say, yeah. You do see dogs, Boston Terriers, off the lead quite a lot. And they never strike me as being an aggressive breed. And again, they're sort of very alert. They're natural companion dogs. But it's funny. So Brad had two Boston Terriers. And one was far more like on your lap, liked being around, where the other one was slightly skittish and didn't really like the. It took a long time to warm to you. So again, each dog is different in their way. So as I mentioned, health, they've got a good life expectancy between 13 and 15 years and can go on older. But Trevor's going to talk a bit more about the health issues of the Boston Terrier.
Yeah, so I agree. They're overall relatively healthy breed. They are predisposed to a couple of things. Some minor things like deafness, either one ear or both ears. That's a heritable or bred trait. And then they get skeletal things like luxating patellas. That's sort of where your knee pops in and out. Sometimes you'll see it's very common in little breed dogs. You'll see them it's kind of skipping when they walk. A lot of times that's just the kneecap popping out of place.
And does it just pop back in?
In some cases, it'll pop back in. In some cases, it stays out and it's something that has to be surgically corrected.
Is that painful for the dog as they're walking? Is that where they're skipping?
Over time, it can predispose them to developing like osteoarthritis and things. But normally, I think it's more of just an annoyance that your knee doesn't quite bend appropriately.
It's like a juxtaposition that looks like they're happy and skipping. But actually it
looks cute, but it's not so cute. Yeah, and it predisposes them it can predispose them to developing what we call ACL, MCL in the human world or cruciate disease in the dog world. They also get brachycephalic airway syndrome. So that is the brachycephalic is a short nose. So all these breeds, we talked a lot about it last week with the French bulldog. So because these guys have the scrunched nose, they are predisposed to this brachycephalic airway syndrome.
I just want to question you a little bit on this because we've got lots of veterinary terms and a lot of them seem to have the same prefixes and suffixes. Brachycephalic, could you break down what that means as a word.
Yeah. Yeah. So most of what we talk about outside of eyes in medicine in general is there, it's derivatives of Latin words. So brachy would be short. Okay. And then cephalic is the head, the cephalus. So this is a short.
Anything which is cephalic is in reference to the head.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And so the opposite of a brachycephalic would be like a dochycephalic, which is a German shepherd. So long nose. Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then they're predisposed to lots of skin issues. So I get texts from my friend Harmony quite often about different skin stuff. And so they just have skin allergies or atopy. Eye-wise, so their eyes, they're predisposed. They have those scrunched nose eyes, or that scrunched nose, the big bulging eyes, which is very cute, but that predisposes them to developing corneal ulcers or scratches of the eye. And then they're also predisposed to glaucoma and cataracts as they get older. They also get epilepsy to some degree. And then I see them on cardiology for sort of two things. They're one of the poster child breeds for heart-based tumors. So these large cancerous masses that grow at the heart base or the top of the heart. And there is some thought that that is related to the fact that they have these little scrunch nose. So boxers are also predisposed to developing these tumors. They're really slow growing. They don't tend to metastasize readily. And so oftentimes we'll find them incidentally, meaning that the dog comes in because it has a murmur for another reason. Mm-hmm. And then while we're doing the echocardiogram, we see this large mass that is sitting there of no significance to the dog. In some cases, they can grow to be big enough to where they do cause some problems. But the other thing we see them commonly for, we've talked about it previously, but they get degeneration of the mitral valve. And so they'll get a leak across one of the valves in their heart that can eventually progress to congestive heart failure where they need diuretics and things. But again, these are things the breed is predisposed to developing, but it's not, these conditions are not something that are
common.
Super common.
And is it an age thing you find also? These, a lot of them are old age in the dogs, or can they happen at any time?
So certain things. So the like luxating patellas is something that can happen early in life. And then the one other kind of musculoskeletal thing we didn't talk about is that any of these screw tail breeds like the Frenchie or the Boston, they also get what are called hemivertebrae, where just one of the vertebrae doesn't form appropriately. And usually it's not a problem, but in some cases it can cause degeneration or like wobbliness on the back legs. And in severe cases, paralysis. Those would be things they're born with. Whereas things like the heart-based tumor, glaucoma, cataracts, and the valve leak, that would be something that would be acquired or developed sort of middle-aged, older.
But as a whole, you would say they're a very healthy breed.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of them in general, I'm biased because we see heart stuff, but when I think of the breed in general, like the biggest health issues I think of is probably epilepsy, so seizures, and then the skin allergies.
Because yeah. Once the research I've done, they always put them as a very healthy breed. Thank you for that, Trevor. And the final thing I'm going to mention about the Boston Terrier, because it leads on to our official breeds of countries, that the United States, there are 13 states that have an official breed. And I did a series of these on my Instagram. You can look at the posts on Dog in the Spotlight on my Instagram. But the Boston Terrier is the official dog breed. Could you guess of what state?
It's got to be Massachusetts.
It does. Lowry has got a question right.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a
well
quiet
done,
dance.
Massachusetts. It is the official dog breed of Massachusetts. And that leads us very nicely onto Tara, an avid listener of in my class. She does each week, she researches the countries and their official dog breeds. So these three countries she has given forward this week are Cuba, Afghanistan, and Portugal. So starting with Cuba.
Lowry?
No, because then you know you'll go first on the next one. And we both know the next one.
Okay, I might... Oh, okay, so I might change it up.
Look how tactical he's being.
Cuba.
Oh, Cuba.
I don't know.
The Cuban...
Let
me guess. Cuba is in the name. You
no,
usually
it's
give
not.
Us that.
It's a first. The Cuba is not in the name. But it is... I'll give you a clue. When you'll be like, oh, yeah.
Because the clues are not usually that helpful.
So it is. It is a city in Cuba. Sounds like a city in Cuba, the capital city.
Is Josh
we were even
add
talking
the
about this dog breed the other day.
Insects chirping here.
Havanese.
Havanese.
Oh.
I win. I got that.
I promise you, Trevor is a vet. And so Trevor was trying to wait to get the next one.
Yeah,
he's
he was.
Like, oh,
well, I'll give it to Lowry.
So for the next one, Portugal. Trevor's first.
The Portuguese water dog.
No.
But you're halfway
right, because it has Portuguese.
Of course it does.
The Portuguese lap hound.
You always say lap hound.
Oh. So, Lowry, is this two questions right in a row?
I don't think so.
It is called the Portuguese Podengo. I've never actually heard of it. So it might be Portuguese for Portuguese water dog, but Portuguese Podengo.
I think, yeah, let's go with that.
Yes.
Yeah. And, which we all know, and I always mention it as a reference to the Stanley Commons intelligence. Afghan hound is the national dog of the official dog of Afghanistan. Thank you for that, Tara. So, our favourite part of the show, which is names. So, I have the top list of boys, top three boys and top three girls' names. And as usual, I asked Tara and Mia, Mia's another girl in my class who's an avid listener, what they would choose as a boy and a girl. So, Tara for boy chose Buster. Mia, I hope I don't look like this, but she's chosen George.
Yeah.
You can see it.
I can see
my
it.
My squash nose. My bulging eyes. No. And for a girl, Tara chose Emma. I thought it was quite cute.
Oh, that's
Emma.
What I chose. I really? Like that.
And then Mia, which I really
that's
like.
That's the other name I chose.
Is
yeah.
it?
Ah.
All right. So Mia has chosen, and I think it might be after my friend John, Bom Bom. Like a sweet Bom Bom. I thought it was quite cute. So. I'm Lurie. Beth, your choice for boy and a girl's name.
So it's not a coincidence you come across Bom Bom. For some reason, when I think about this dog, I think of food-based names. And I never have before, because like you, I like human names for dogs.
Yeah.
But I instantly thought of Chip.
Chip. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Chip for a boy. And then for a girl, I thought of Cream Puff.
Cream Puff?
That's quite... What, you're going to shout in the dog park? Cream Puff. Cream Puff.
Well, that's pretty
okay,
awful.
That's a good one, Mary. I guess that one is on fire today.
Okay.
Oh, a Boston Cream Puff.
I see what you did there.
I see. So okay. She's trying to justify. Well, would you go for the full name? Boston Cream Puff.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Okay, Trevor.
I think it's quite a masculine looking dog. So I was thinking something like Bruno or Roscoe for a male.
Yeah.
And then for the female, as I said, I had Emma, but maybe
that's
Luna.
Funny you chose Emma.
Yeah, that's
funny.
What I said, yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny you chose that. So I would go for something like Gerald.
That's my dad's name.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I'd be choosing quite Gerald for the boy. And I quite like Hillary. For the girl?
Okay.
Quite political, I guess. I know she's from Chicago, but... So, the top boy's name, they are quite sick. We always go through the same names, but they are Max, Charlie, and Rocky. Rocky, I think, is quite cute.
Yeah, Rocky Road.
The boxer face, yeah.
And girls, you can probably guess the top one.
Is it Bella?
Bella.
Guys, please come up with different names for a girl dog.
Go for
Bella, Lucy, and Lola.
Yeah, standard.
Okay, celebrities who have this breed... Gerald R. Ford. Funny enough, I chose Gerald, but he's the president. Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. Helen Keller, the woman who was blind and deaf.
Yeah.
Robin Williams, Joan Rivers, Denise Richards, and Louis Armstrong had these dogs to breed. So
eclectic.
Yeah. So we've looked at the Boston Terrier and its history, and as a dog, they're extremely adaptable for both park life. For both apartment life, house in the country, great with children, not major shedders, healthy breed, Lowry. Is this the dog for you?
I mean, you haven't given me a reason to say that it's not the dog for me.
Oh.
Aesthetically, I'm not a huge fan of it. In the same way, I didn't like the Frenchie. Not a huge fan of the Boxer. That kind of...
Brachycephalic.
Yeah, the pug and all of those don't appeal to me whatsoever. But perhaps it might, again, go on the asterisk list.
That list is growing, at least. The actual dog list is not growing.
You've made two lists here. One the official list and one that... you're not sure about the maybe one.
And let's not forget the no list, which is how many episodes have we done?
Endless.
Well, it's kind of, if I came across one in a shelter, because I'm always big on adopting as opposed to buying, if I came across one in a shelter that had a lovely nature, I wouldn't discount it like I would other dogs, but I wouldn't seek out and adopt one.
Yeah. Trevor.
Yeah, as I said earlier, this for the small breed dogs, this is one of my favorites, so I would consider this.
For me, I'm like Lowry. I think it ticks loads of boxes, but again, might be superficial of me. I'm just not keen on the look. It's too skinny. It's just not a look for me. I never really look at a Boston Terrier and go, oh, they're adorable. Whereas a Frenchie, I do, and I think it's because they're a bit squashed and chunkier. I don't know. Anyway, I have to... So when I usually say bye at the end, Joshua, who is our producer, he's like, I think you need to end it a bit better than just when, you know, you just go bye, bye, bye. So I feel like, how should we end it? I've just literally putting Lowry and Trevor on the spot here.
Cheerio.
Well,
have you got a plan? What's going on?
No, I haven't got a plan at all. I always just do this. Bye. And then Joshua's always going to me, I think you need to end it. So I should say, I would like to thank Trevor and Lowry, but I'd also like to thank James McGarrigle, who is our tea boy, who brings us teas and coffee. And actually today he brought us breakfast and bagels. They were lovely, weren't they, guys?
Delicious.
Yes, absolutely delicious. So thank you, James. Mm. And our producer and sound man, Trevor. Sorry.
Josh. Great job on this night. The build-up for this
Joshua Shepherd.
Yeah, Joshua's just
Joshua is the one who puts this all together. We just do the talking. He literally does the music, the sound, and puts it all together, and that's why it sounds so good. So
thank you, Joshua.
So remember to subscribe to Dog in Spotlight on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, and remember to follow us on Instagram at Dog in Spotlight for more information on many dog breeds, as well as the dog breeds we cover in each episode. Thanks a lot, and see you soon. Bye.
Bye.